the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To get married in the Archdiocese of Denver, you have to listen to Janet Smith, either read her booklet or actually listen to her talk, which is called Contraception, Why Not? Over a million listens, distributions of this, originally a cassette tape. And she says something very interesting there. You know, most of that whole thing is sociological and medical, but one of the only times she kind of brings in her own personal flair to the whole talk in defense of Humana Vitae is she says, if you do these three things, and she's normally saying this to young college students. Now she teaches at a seminary in Detroit, but she used to be a university professor, and she is a PhD, by the way. And so Dr. Janet Smith would say, if you do these three things and still get a divorce, I'll give you $1,000. And she says, if you go to Sunday Mass, and if you follow Humana Vitae, that's to say refrain from contraception in your marriage, and if you tithe, you will not get a divorce if you do those three things. And she's promised this for 20 years. She'll give $1,000 or something if anyone does those and still gets a divorce. And she said she's yet to pay anybody back at this point. She hasn't had to pay anybody. And I love that she gives that challenge, because what she says is, like, why those three random things? Are they just her pet projects? No, she says, because if you get God, sex, and money right, everything else is gravy. If you get God, sex, and money right, everything is gravy. Everything's going to follow from that. Not just gravy, that's my words. Everything will flow from that if you get those three right. Now, since she started making this 20 years ago, I think the church, the Catholic Church in the United States is quite a bit stronger on understanding that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Maybe they don't know that it's the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but I think there's more Catholics who now believe in the true presence. Obviously, it's still a ton less than it was 100 years ago, but I think it's a little better than it was 20 years ago. There's just a movement of people who now realize how contraception destroys families. But I think that where the Catholic Church in the United States is still greatly lagging behind where it was before Vatican II, even among those who believe in the true presence, even among those who believe in Humana Vitae, is the importance of tithing. Now, Advent is known as a mini Lent. And what are the three parts of Lent? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But what we're going to talk about today is to actually see that to give alms, that presupposes a full 10% to the church first. And you're going to see how this kind of ties in. Now remember, Advent is the time for priests to challenge, as is Lent. So I'm just going to give you the words of, it's actually not going to be my words. I'm going to give you what the Bible says and what St. Thomas Aquinas says, and then you can apply that to your life and to this parish. So let's start with the positive on tithing. God says to the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Okay, let's hash out just a couple lines there from Malachi chapter 3. Now remember, in the beginning of Luke's gospel, the beginning of Matthew's gospel, and even in Deuteronomy, what does God say about testing him? Don't test me. Do not test the Lord your God. Jesus quotes that to Satan in the desert. Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. But there's one time in the Bible where God says, test me, and it's on tithing. He's saying, give me a shot. If you're not giving a full 10%, give this a shot and see what happens after that. Test me. Try me out. And what is the result? He says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Malachi chapter 3. Now, perhaps you've heard Protestant pastors preach on chapter 3 of Malachi, and I think we have this attitude kind of like, well, Protestants might tithe better than Catholics, but we Catholics, we really get together when there's need. But what I want to show you is actually St. Thomas Aquinas himself, who the church holds as the pinnacle of the teacher of the magisterium, sub-popes and sub-scripture, holds that it's actually 10%. Of our income. And so we're going to look at what the church fathers say, that you know, we're not Protestants who are left without an interpretation of Scripture. I think that was pretty clear in Scripture. But just in case there's question, what the magisterium holds on this. We're going to look at that. And so, again, Advent is the time for repentance. And we have to realize St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine both say to give any less than 10% is stealing from God. It's stealing from the church. This isn't a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Pentecostal. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. If you're giving less than 10%, if you're giving 9%, you're still stealing from God. I'm sorry. This is what they say. It is a duty, this is according to St. Thomas Aquinas, second part of the second part, question number 87. It is a duty to pay tithes, and whoever refuses to pay them takes what belongs to another. He's talking about God and the church. Well, I'm going to actually just tackle the three most common modern objections to Catholics paying a full 10% to their income. And it's not going to be that long of a homily. I'm just going to give the three most common objections that I have heard in 6 years of priesthood to tithing, or most likely ones, and just kind of answer them with Thomas Aquinas, much like he does in the Summa. So the first question, is a tithe really a full 10%? Well, this is what Thomas Aquinas says. For 10 is in a way the perfect number, being the first numerical limit, since the figures do not go beyond 10 but begin over again from 1. And therefore, he that gave a tenth, which is the sign of perfection, reserving the 9 other parts for himself, acknowledging by a sign that imperfection was his part, and that the perfection which was to come through Christ was to be hoped for from God. Yet this proves it is to be not a ceremonial, but a judicial precept, as stated above. So the first thing to realize in this is he's showing that the number 10 is specific. It's not a random number. It's not that you can say it's a fifth. He's actually showing this is a real number, 1 out of 10. The second thing I want to highlight is that he says reserving the other 9 parts for himself. And what he's actually saying is that first tenth, it's not even yours. It belongs to God. How amazing is that everything that we have comes from God, and he lets us keep 9 out of 10. So we have to flip our idea as Catholics to say, this is incredible. God gives me every cent I have, every breath I have, every beat of my heart, everything that's ever on my table. He gives me. It's not me being generous with God if I tithe. It's he's letting me keep 9/10 of what he's giving me, and he just asks in generosity, or really justice, as we heard, to give back. Now, what is justice? The virtue of justice is to give what is due. And that's why Thomas Aquinas just said that in number 87. It's not a ceremonial, but a judicial precept. So what Thomas Aquinas is saying is that priests and religious deserve 10% of your income whether or not you think they're worthy. That interesting? Whether or not you think they're worthy, they still deserve 10%. It goes back all the way to the Levites. And so if that priest and the bishops misuse the money, that's on their heads. Their salvation is in danger. But I'm giving this homily for your salvation, that you don't have to calculate ahead of time how people are going to use money well or poorly. Your calling, according to God, through the Holy Scriptures and through St. Thomas Aquinas, through the Magisterium, is to give 10%. And again, I'm sorry, but they all say giving less than 10% is literally stealing from God. Okay, the second objection we hear a lot is, isn't that the Old Testament? Well, this is what Thomas Aquinas says, again, still number 87, but the third kind of tithe which they had to eat with the poor is increased in the new law, for our Lord commanded us to give to the poor not merely the tenth part, but all our surplus, according to Luke 11:41. That which remaineth, give alms. Thomas continues, moreover, the tithes that are given to the ministers of the church should be dispensed by them for the use of the poor. So here's what Thomas Aquinas is saying. He's saying that the New Testament is a higher calling. You know, I'm sure you've all spoken to people out there who, when you try to discuss matters of Catholicism, if you mention the Old Testament, people are always like, oh, that's the Old Testament, almost like we don't have to answer for it. But remember this, the calling of the New Testament is higher. What's the calling in the Old Testament on adultery? Well, don't commit adultery. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, if you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your hearts. That's a higher calling. What do we know about murder in the Old Testament? Don't do it. What does Jesus say about murder in the New Testament? He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So what I'm saying is that there's a higher calling in the New Testament. We can't say there's a lower calling. There's always a higher calling in the New Testament. So when what Thomas Aquinas is saying is, we must fulfill the Old Testament call to tithe to the Levites, which are the priests, and then the New Testament calls us to give alms, who? To lay apostolates, to the poor, and things like that. But listen closely, he actually said to the ministers of the church. That's what Thomas Aquinas said, to the ministers of the church. And this is where the Catholic Church delineates between a ministry and an apostolate. A ministry is priests and religious. An apostolate is something that is run by lay people for evangelization. So Thomas Aquinas is saying the first 10% belongs to the ministers of the church. Whether that's bishops, priests, or religious, it's your decision. Even if it's not this parish, I'm saying it for your salvation. And then on top of that is the alms that you give to the poor or groups of lay people who are doing evangelization work. Thus, for someone to say tithing 10% is a thing of the Old Testament, Thomas Aquinas answers, yes, you are right that it's required, it's part of the Old Testament, but you're required to do it. That is why you give 10% to the church and then alms on top of that to whatever you feel is a worthy target, just to paraphrase him. Okay, last part. Number three is, does this include all parts of income? Thomas Aquinas says in number 87, yes, it is written in Genesis 28:22, of all things that thou shalt give to me, I will offer tithes to thee. Okay, those are the three parts. And I just want to note this last thing, that some people go beyond this in their trust of God. A woman in this parish told me that it was about 15 years ago, and she was actually in this parish long before it was converted to be a traditional Latin Mass chapel, and she had no more money left. She only had $1.57 to her name. And she was in the back there, and she wondered what to do with it. And you know what she did? She gave her last $1.57 while trying to raise kids because she wanted to honor God and to keep the parish alive. And she gave the last $1.57 that she had. Now, this is where Malachi comes in as true, that God did take care of her, and she's totally fine now. God is always faithful. Maybe it's an oversaid phrase, but I'm going to say it again. God cannot be outdone in generosity. St. Teresa of Calcutta said, it's not love until it hurts. And so I love that story that she told me. It was in the sacristy that she told me that story. And this happened 15 years ago, and they're fine now, because God is faithful. And do you think that sounds like the Protestant health and wealth gospel? I'm sorry. Jesus said it through the Old Testament prophet Malachi when he said, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.